Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special Thanksgiving episode of the Friday Filibuster. And by special, we mean not special at all, because it's going to be a regular episode of the Friday Filibuster. But hopefully, you have indulged in turkey and tryptophan, and you've watched many great football games, and you're ready for the weekend. So we will not hold you from your Black Friday shopping, and we'll get you right out there to brave the mob. And with us, as always, is Eric Aschersleger.
Hello.
Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-doo.
Daryl Loomis.
Gobble, gobble.
Very nice. And Daryl, because you are in the spirit of things, you will kick us off by reporting anything new. You have 30 seconds.
All right. My one thing this week that I was happy about was the 50th anniversary Doctor Who special.
Okay.
I had actually wanted to watch it a second time. I didn't go to the theater to see it or anything like that. But had wanted to watch it a second time, but because they were apparently marathoning Doctor Who on BBC America on Sunday, my DVR deleted it. So I needed to watch it a second time to really see how I felt about it. So tentatively, I was happy with it, but it really did feel like a fanboy episode. Something that was really just designed to appeal to fans specifically and not really further anything. Although I think in a different world, John Hurt would have made an amazing Doctor.
All right. Very, very good. Nice and concise. Eric, what do you got?
Nothing new that I haven't been doing for the site. Been watching a lot of stuff and writing about stuff for the site. I'll mention one thing here and then other stuff and things I've been doing quickly. It's on the site now, but I finally got my review done for The World's End.
Yes.
Which was a movie that I liked when I saw it in the theater. Didn't have the, you know, oh wow experience that I thought I was going to have. I had that on Blu-ray. As with any great movie, I had to watch it more than one time. And after having watched it, live with it for a week in a Blu-ray that's just packed with bonus features, it really is an amazing movie. And,
when's that going live? We got a sense of when
it's
that.
It's out.
It's out
yeah,
now.
It's already out. Yeah, it's out now. And I continued the Edgar Wright streak that began with you with Hot Fuzz, giving him a perfect score.
Yeah, very good. So. Yes. And, Edgar Wright gave you a little tweet love, right?
Yeah, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg both retweeted my review, which helped it to get on the first ever review that I've gotten on the debut popular review list.
Nice, yes.
Yeah.
Hit for you.
Long time coming. That's right. We've been eyeing that for a while, so that's good.
Yeah, I hit number six. So.
right under
Star Wars, I think.
Star Wars.
Yeah, you're no fire on the water.
No.
That's right. I'm trying to think of which ones have lasted forever there.
Fire on the Water and Fire on the Water Blu-ray, I think, are still one and two, aren't they?
For some reason
I could never fathom.
There were more people on the internet back then, I'm sure.
I think so. All right, Mac.
Well, Dave, you and I made it out to the theater to
That's
see
right.
Thor.
And we didn't make out in the theater. We made it out.
No. Made to the theater.
That's a less interesting.
Sorry,
the car afterwards.
But Mac, you double dipped on that, right? You double.
Yeah, it was my second time seeing it. I would like the movie a lot. I thought it was just really a lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of humor, real sort of old fashioned high adventure movie, and so I really got a kick out of it.
I'd agree with that. As someone who kind of was pretty lukewarm on the first Thor, I thought they kind of built off of the, you know, like the comedy that they had. I mean, it wasn't a comedy, but Thor was pretty far up his own tailpipe in the first one, I thought. And I think the Avengers kind of softened him up and played with that fish out of water stuff. And there were some really good, there's some really fun moments, in this one. I mean, I'm sure, Mac, you know, a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff would probably resonate with you more. So, you know, the larger fit in the mythology didn't quite land with me as much, but that's kind of a standalone comic book romp. I had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mac, as somebody who hates the first Thor movie, just genuinely despises it, why does all the buzz for the sequel seem different?
Different tone. It's a different tone, I think.
I'd say it's definitely a bigger movie. The action's a lot bigger. We get a lot more in Asgard, so it plays more with the fantasy aspects of the story. Tom Hiddleston is back, and he's really great. his interactions with the other characters is really great. But if you just really despise the first one, you're shaking your fist at it. It, you know, it takes that first movie and builds off of it. So it, right, it takes the first right. movie and just kind of takes those ideas from the first movie and expands on them.
That's about accurate, I think. I mean, it's still kind of fundamentally they're chasing, you know, a plot device, really, which does seem to fit into larger things. But
the bad at its guy core, is kind of one note, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember who the bad guy is.
I think it was Malekith, who's played by Christopher Eccleston.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so it doesn't really stick with me, but I certainly enjoyed myself for that.
Yeah, there are just fewer movies over the last few years that I more want to punch in the face than the original Thor movie.
Oh, not bad. That's strong words.
I find that hard to believe.
No, don't believe it.
I got four words for you, my friend. Home Alone, Holiday Heist.
Well, in the last few years.
I'm just saying Daryl wants to punch a lot of movies.
Okay, I got six more words for you. Bratz Babies, with a Z at the end, Save Christmas, the movie.
I'd never see that. It's irrelevant to me.
I'd like to submit as evidence one the every movie Dave has reviewed for the past 6 months. For DVD verdicts.
Check in.
I don't know. I hear that really builds on the Bratz mythology, though.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
How does it fit into the Bratz canon? Is what I want to know.
There's been some controversy over that. Are Bratz babies the same as Bratz canon?
Sure. I mean, as a fan of the entire Bratziverse.
Yes. All right. So, and then I'll do really check in with here. Obviously, it's new console craziness, and I did plunk down. Actually, not a ton of money because I've been steadily building throughout the year, trading crap in advance for putting down my down payment for the Xbox One. But I do have that in my possession. I've been enjoying it greatly, as Eric has noted before. It really was the console and the games built after my id, I think. So I've been playing the Rise Rome game. Hasn't been getting good reviews, but man, I had a great time with it. Very cinematic. Definitely has that next generation feel. Doing some Killer Instinct. And some Dead Rising 3, but the media features are legitimately cool on this thing. Voice commands, really quick moving through apps. They're adding stuff as we speak. I think Amazon Prime just went on there, the instant video store. So they're really building it up, but I could see a lot of potential. And it really suits my all-in-one needs. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how Sony and Microsoft kind of chart a new path.
So, Dave, do you feel silly talking to your television?
I feel silly listening to my daughter trying to repeat those same commands. So she has been taken to addressing the TV as Xbox as well. So.
Branding.
Yeah, so not yet. So they win. They win.
Does she ever? Did she ever like wander in the room and just say Xbox off?
No, she
turn
hasn't.
Off or whatever.
She hasn't started trolling me like that. That'll happen pretty soon.
If anybody has Xbox around me, I will absolutely troll them.
Yeah, you should. It is definitely a trollable console. So
Xbox Snap Rats.
Xbox, search for Katherine Heigl's greatest movies.
So, yeah, Zero results.
Zero results. Excellent. All right, I can't. We need to. We're going to leave that there because it cannot be top. So let's move on. Stuff we got for the site. Eric, did you have anything in addition to World's End you wanted to talk? No.
Yeah, real quick, another review that is up on the site this week. The new Mystery Science Theater set, their 25th anniversary box set. It's kind of crazy because Shout Factory, when they took over Mystery Science Theater duties, they put out the 20th anniversary set. So this is 5 years ago, and this 25th anniversary set is their 16th release. Like, you know, at least four movies, you know, per release. And this is a really good one because it comes with four new movies, new to DVD. Moon Zero 2, which is like a Hammer sci-fi movie, which is pretty cool. The Day the Earth Froze, a fan favorite. The Leech Woman and Gorgo, which is a British Godzilla movie, essentially.
Excellent.
But it also comes with two bonus movies, two bonus episodes. Mitchell and the Brain That Wouldn't Die, which are... Of course, the episode where Joel left and the episode where Mike started. So you have six episodes in the set to start with, and then there's like something like 2.5 hours of bonus features. It's pretty nuts. So it's really cool. So last week was a busy week between The World's End and trying to burn through Mystery Science Theater stuff. But I'm out on the other side, and now I'm reviewing Breaking Bad, the final season.
All right. Wow.
Which is, so, you know, much lighter fare.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You do, right. Yeah, you do, and you get one or two movies a week, but they're doozies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No Bratz babies
no.
for me.
Nah, your day will come.
I say that until I get Bratz babies next week.
Now, Eric, did you watch Breaking Bad's final season as it aired?
Yeah, I did. So I've seen all the stuff.
So you're not in for the punch in the face.
No, I know it's this is more. You know, this is more me putting my thoughts down on virtual on e-ink paper or whatever.
Yeah, I recently reviewed Mad Men season 6 for the same to the same purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's actually quite a lot of bonus feature stuff on there. There's commentaries for every episode and making of stuff for every episode, and then there's also a ton of featurettes. There's also an alternate ending, which I got really excited about until I watched it, and I don't want to spoil it for people. It's cool, but it's probably not what you think it is. So I'll leave it there. But.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the Mad Men season 6 is the special features were garbage.
Oh, yeah.
It was all garbage. The whole, you know, the whole supplemental package is garbage. There's no reason to watch any of it. So I don't know why, you know, they put that kind of time into Breaking Bad and not into Mad Men. But, you know, whatever.
Probably because Breaking Bad's a better show, but...
It is a better show, but it doesn't mean that it's not...
No, Mad Men is a very good show. I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm always impressed. I guess the baseline for bonus features is there's nothing on this disc. And that's gotten, you know, it seems not uncommon these days to get a release that is... We put two extra copies of the movie in there. What more do you want? But it's great to have...
Anything but two extra copies of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Breaking Bad is great. I mean, The World's End, like all the great movies, like sets the standard for just how much stuff they can cram onto a disc. But I'm always impressed when they manage to put good stuff on there. So,
just
kudos to Breaking Bad.
Something of quality. So good for good for them. It's the same distribution company and whatever, right?
Sure, it's AMC. So I don't know, Sony something.
Yeah, I don't know, but I would assume so.
Yeah,
but it's pathetic for Mad Men.
Well, why don't you pick up the ball and run with it to segue to what you've got going on?
Football. Me? Football. It's Thanksgiving.
That's right. Yeah. Any verdict upcoming stuff?
For me, no.
Yeah. No.
Well, yes, but a bunch of old stuff, but nothing of particular note.
Okay. Great. I like it. Mac.
I'm excuse me, along similar lines of reviewing the 8th and final season of Dexter.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And boy, what a sad thing it is when a really great show has a really weak ending.
Man, I can't do it. Then I'm two seasons behind, but I don't think I can continue forth.
Oh boy,
I might have you spoil it for me off the air at some point.
I had heard that a lot of people were disappointed by the ending, so I knew that going in, but I wasn't prepared for just how much of a letdown this finale was. And, you know, after sticking with the show for so long and knowing that how good it was and just, you know, it used to be one of my favorite shows. It's so quality. I marathoned seasons as soon as I got them. But you guys remember my famous Facebook post where I would be marathoning Dexter all day?
Yeah, that's true.
But, man, this season is just painful to see what they've done to the show. It's just basically Dexter acts completely out of character. It's like, I don't even know who this guy is anymore.
Does it retroactively besmirch seasons prior?
I don't know. It kind of depends on how you look at it. Kind of.
All right.
So it's just a real disappointment. It's the way they treat the character and the overall tone is completely different from what the show used to be. And it's not a change for the better.
That is a bummer. All right. Thanks for the heads up. Well, on this end, it's actually been a fairly productive week over here. So we've got Red 2, which was kind of dropped in my lap, and it's a terrible movie. Red 2. I hated it. I actually hated the movie. It was an action comedy, but none of it was funny. The action wasn't good. People were annoying. I don't know. I didn't see the first one. So I don't know if it's just a continuation, But the second one was definitely unnecessary, even not having seen the first one. I haven't reviewed it yet, but I got Fast and Furious 6 here cooking, which is one of my surprises for the summer, and for my money, like the best pure summer escapism that I indulged in. Just
it's big, dumb fun.
I mean, really just out of this world. And then it will have, hopefully, you're listening to this on Friday, so on Thursday it would have hopefully hit verdict, but Sudden Death, the Blu-ray review. Nice. Finally. So, yes.
The White Whale.
The White Whale. Finally got my hands on that. So, a lot of stuff happening here. But I will not prolong this. So let's continue on, Mac.
Sure. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week and DVD verdict. Next week on... I'm going to start over. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. From there, we will scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for December 3rd.
All I know is I'm not sure what I think of that Berenstain Bear ogling that bell.
Yeah, no, that is a...
He got something on his mind.
The Berenstain Bears and the Big Talk.
Ben Affleck's also giving her the eye in his Argo cover.
Yeah, they're all. Yeah, that's true.
That makes more sense. But he's Batman, so it's okay.
I see Farscape on Blu-ray, Mac. Was that something you had indulged in back in the day?
Yeah, I got the complete series set and a while back and on DVD, and it really turned me into a believer. I got into Farscape in a big way. So I was a latecomer to the Farscape phenomenon, but this looks like the 15th anniversary edition.
Okay. First time on Blu-ray, though?
Not the first time on Blu-ray. Oh, no, okay. Our good friend Patrick reviewed the Blu-rays.
Gotcha.
It's a movie that Mac, you spoke about before, Good Old Frida.
Oh, yeah, the documentary about the woman who was the Beatles, president of the Beatles fan club during all the years that they operating as the Beatles. Really great documentary, just kind of an ordinary person just caught up in all this history-making events with the Beatles.
Also semi-Beatles-related, the Ruddles anthology.
I remember that movie.
It was fun, yeah.
Anything else? Not a ton to... Yeah.
I heard good things about Drinking Buddies. Haven't seen it yet as far as like indie movies go.
All right.
Just throwing that out there.
That's good.
Movies we've sort of maybe heard of. This is right at that point of the...
Yes, let's come to this. All right. Let's see if we can squeeze some inappropriateness out of this. Anybody sees on the release of the week? Daryl.
It's good I'm going first. Because I'm going to go ahead and go with Men at Lunch.
All right, that's good. Eric?
We go with Iron Man and Hulk Heroes United.
Good. Mac?
Girls und Panzer.
This is dirty.
I don't know.
I'm not even going to translate that into English or German.
That is a good one. I don't know. How about Sid's pet project? Yeah, we'll go with that. All right, but feel free to peruse, purchase, and support DVD Verdict. And boy, thank you. That Berenstain Bear is looking directly at her side boob. So yeah, it's crazy.
At least you got the Beyond Grace people looking judgmental.
That's true. They are judgmental. Yes, that's good. There, it's helpful.
At least it gives a moral center to the whole story of this webpage.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Well, I mean, we know Brother Bear has a model collection. We just didn't know it was that kind of model.
That's right.
We meet a lot of Berenstain Bears in this house. I have a pretty deep bench of Berenstain Bears now. You want to talk about Give the Gimmies, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. Amber's topics, you know this works, so Daryl, why don't you go first?
All right, we're going to do something a little different. So I want you to give me a thing, anything, I don't care what it is, just a thing, and justify it as a movie character.
An object?
An object of any kind.
All right, we have to do all the work in justifying it? Are you justifying it as?
I'm not gonna do your work.
I thought this was like a whose line is it anyway type of thing.
I know, right? Yeah.
Give me an object and a profession. From 1930s.
That game show.
Are these inhabiting the same movie? Like, are objects part of the same movie?
No, the object is the name of the character.
Wait, so is it a human named after an object, or is it an anthropomorphic object?
Yes.
A human named after the object.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. My
conception of this wasn't so complicated. I'm sorry.
Usually Amber's topics don't come with footnotes, but I guess we'll.
it's very clear in my head.
Oh, it is.
About what I'm looking for.
Your answer better be the greatest answer to this topic.
It's not that great, but I can come up with 12 of them pretty quickly.
I mean, I can name an actual movie whose title is an object, and I don't think the guy's name is. I'm gonna go with Eraser.
Okay.
So, like, Eraser is a movie. It's a real movie.
You could go with a character named Eraser. I don't know.
Wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger's character named like John Eraser or something like that? I assume.
I don't know. I've only seen the movie once.
I never watched
Eraser. I'm sorry. This topic was so contentious. It didn't seem such in my head.
I mean,
it's a fictional movie character, so I'm saying like my character is Seltzer Water, and he's part of this movie. Is that what you're saying?
He has his own movie, Dave. This isn't like an ensemble piece. This is a
But I'm making up the movie and I'm making up the character.
Yes.
No, it just
you're also writing it
a regular thing.
Okay.
That's then as a name.
Yeah.
A character name in a movie.
All right, here I'll go. All
right.
Okay. I can go.
I'm going to pick a trash bag, okay? And my movie character is, we'll call him Trash Bag Williams.
Is this right?
No. He's a burned out private eye. And he used to work for like a big movie studio. He used to solve murders for the studio. But he got fired and now he's burned out. But then the mysterious femme fatale comes into his life and gives him a new gig. And he uncovers a vast conspiracy. And along the way, it involves his former bosses at the studio are involved. And so at the end, he rounds up all the bad guys, punches them all out, and then he says, "I'm taking out the trash."
So we have credits. Wait, fair enough.
His name is Trash Bag. So did he commit suicide? If he takes out the trash, is he taking out himself? I'm confused.
It's a very meta character, I think.
Yeah, it's their layers.
Okay. So is that what we were looking for, Daryl?
Basically, yeah. Okay. Not even that complicated. Mac really did a number on what I was looking for.
I just want to know, do we have to finance the movie ourselves? Because I'm a little confused about how we're going to do this.
No. Financing is not an issue. Money is no object.
Oh, so you're producing. Okay.
We'll Kickstarter it.
It's me and the De Laurentiis family. We're all producing it, and we're throwing all our crazy money into it. Whatever you need.
Okay.
As long as the character name is an object and it makes sense as a character.
All right. Gotcha. Okay.
It's not like there's a wrong answer here.
It just doesn't seem like it didn't seem
there
like
is.
It's going to be that hard.
Let me go with, I'll go with ball belt. And he's
what's a ball belt?
ball belt.
No, I'm too careful. I got two objects. His first name is Ball, and I see a belt, so his last name is Belt. So, buddy,
it's a ball belt?
That's not a real object. No, it's two objects.
It sounds like something a mechanic would tell me I need to put in my car. And I'd say, sure, because
which
I don't
if
know what
you just
car.
Said that, I would have accepted it.
My grandpa left his ball belt on the food television.
It's a sob. Is it a sob thing?
No, I'm holding a ball. It's object one. It's this little basketball ball in my hand. And then off to the corner, I see a belt on the floor. So I'm giving him a name, two objects. Ball belt.
I'm not going to – apparently this is weirder than I expected it to be.
So I think maybe ball belt could work with Trash Bag Williams.
Whatever you want.
I think ball belt is a crackhead informant. You know, for Trash Bag Williams. So he's He's I'm gonna actually, I know it's not, I'm gonna shoe him into Max movie. So so Trashpad's looking for intel and the main villain, and he goes to his old friend Ball Belt. So there you go. Grizzled life has done a number on him, but he still has some information for a few dollars.
Right. Yeah. I'm changing my answer to a window doorknob.
Okay. Let's see. And is he part of Max movie too?
We got it's like a one man show, like concert performance.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Except it's self-explanatory. Daryl, what's your answer?
Yeah, it's yours, Daryl.
Is it back to me?
Yeah.
No, back to you.
All right, then my character's name is Young Manchego. Young Manchego being a cheese. Jeez. But in my movie, being the Spanish slave, young Spanish slave purchased by some Central American kingpin.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
And in like some kind of movie, like, do you guys remember Extreme Prejudice?
Mm-hmm. No.
Or like one of the Andy Sidaris movies, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah. Enemy Gold.
Yeah, Enemy Gold or Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Or
Express.
Yeah. Right. Young Manchego is the boy slave of one of the kingpins there.
All right.
His dad, Old Manchego, is kind of a piece of garbage.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I got Trash Bag Williams.
We're back to Trash Bag Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, boy.
So wait, well, where does Ball Belt fit in?
Ball Belt goes where he
I don't know.
Go.
With Ball Belt.
Young Manchego.
I don't
Ball
know.
He'll go to, from movie to movie. He's part of like, he's like the Marvel Universe, you know, he'll show up in different movies.
Well, I like this. You know, Daryl, I don't want to, you know, armchair quarterback your topic. I wish you had just gone with like, pick a cheese. Come up with the character based on the cheese. Cause that at least
sort
of focus.
I don't know what your cheese experiences are, so.
I could throw with a, you know.
Be like, Colby Lewis and Cheddar Monroe.
Sure.
I don't want nothing like that.
It could be a Brie, it could be a Blue, it could be American. You know, American movies are very popular.
That's right.
American movies are popular these days.
Exactly.
All right, do we want to continue? I mean, is there any Amish topic that's going to top this one?
No, of course not, but we got to see this.
All right, go ahead. Eric, go ahead. What do you have?
All right. This is, movies that appear to have had obvious studio notes attached. Hmm. Things in movies that are like, yeah, they probably got changed.
Hmm.
Studio notes.
Okay.
Or cheese. Either one. I'll take it.
Studio notes movie. Okay, let's see here.
I'll change it. How about Pulled Punches? So it seems like it's going to go a direction, and then it just backs off. Either one, or cheese. It's really just kind of, it's in anything.
Yeah.
My Amber's topic is whatever.
This is quite a Ball Belt. Let me think here. okay, Pull Punches and or cheese and or studio notes.
You can combine all three.
Yes.
Daryl, I expect you to.
I'm trying.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first? Sure. I have some time.
All right. So I just got around to seeing The Big Year, which is it's like a comedy drama. It's Jack Black, Steve Martin, Owen Wilson. They're all bird watchers. They're all kind of competing to see who can see the individual species of birds in a year. And it's a cute movie. It's, you know, I think if you have a bird feeder like we do, it's kind of got some interesting, like, oh, those are birds I recognize, birds. But there are things in the movie that seem like they probably wanted to go a darker direction and then they didn't. Like, I guess this is a minor spoilers, but like Owen Wilson like just ignores his wife and is just out doing this bird thing. And you get the sense that she's like getting closer to this contractor who's there. It's like, oh, she's definitely going to cheat on him. And then he thinks that she does. And she said, no, I would never cheat on you, but I'm divorcing you. So it's like, okay, well, they were going to go the direction where she cheated on him, but then they pulled back. And then Jack Black's father has a heart attack. He's like, oh, they never really connected. Now he's going to have to face this thing. It's like, oh, he's fine. Okay. All right. Then we're good. It's like that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. I'm going to go with an actual studio note with Miami Connection, which we've talked about, and He had originally a very dark ending, and he shopped it around, and the studios were saying, no, we can't distribute this unless you change the ending up. So he actually, so the, it originally ended with his, the guy dying in his arms right as his strange father flies into the airport, as we all love. And then he tacked on a final fight with the villain, and he didn't have the actor, so he had to like get some stunt double and fully clothe him in garb that you never seen before. So very tacked on, and so a real world example. Yes.
Let's see. This is a tricky one. I know there's lots of examples, but none are leaping to mind. I guess one thing was maybe not, but in Kick-Ass 2, they out of nowhere they introduce the sexual tension between Kick-Ass and Hit-Girl that was never in the first one. Probably because of the age difference, I don't know. But I wonder if that's the studio saying, no, gotta have a love story, gotta have a love story.
If the age difference doesn't actually change in the sequel, it's exactly the same number of years difference.
Yeah, well, that's, well, but we're on the other side of puberty now.
So, yes, but Kick-Ass is still considerably older than Hit-Girl.
That's true. It's just, she's gotten old, I don't know. I'm not saying it's smart, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that it seems like, you know, I feel that because they certainly
like
didn't do that
direction. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, you know, oh, we got to have a romance. We got to have a love story. And Chloe Moretz is a big star now. So we got to have her be the romantic lead. So, you know, and they certainly didn't do that in the comics. So I'm guessing that would have been studio interference. There's a lot of problems with that movie.
I'm still curious to see it.
It's a mess.
Yeah. First one's fun.
All right, where are we? Yes. Where are we with all this?
I guess it's down to me.
All right.
So I'm going to go with the odd note of Alien and the director's cut being shorter than the actual cut. So the studio direction means that it needs to be longer and more drawn out. No. Ridley Scott's cut is better.
Interesting.
But there are scenes in the director's cut not in the original, right?
Yeah, well, a couple little, tiny little things.
Maybe I need to say it again.
But nothing. No, it's nothing huge. It's just it shortens the opening, and you know a couple of little bits in there. But I don't think there's any scenes that are really different. Largely, it's been a long time since I've sat down and watched them either.
All right. So, Eric, then?
I already went.
Oh, you did?
Yep,
so who's
I went first. I went first.
Oh, Daryl, you wrapped this down. What are we done? Are we done?
Did you? Oh, you did. Yeah,
yeah.
We're good. The trip to Fan is setting in.
Okay. All right. So, it's on to... Sorry, my Knicks are just starting here, so I'm... So, I guess me? I guess I'll go? Okay.
Yeah. We've all gone but you, Dave.
Oh, we have? Good.
I haven't gone yet.
Oh, Mac hasn't gone. So, Mac, why don't you go?
Okay. Real simple. With thanks to Thor being in theaters and rocking it, how it's scenes involving hammers.
All right.
Scenes involving hammers. I'm going to go with Drive. Where Ryan Reynolds uses a hammer in a memorable way.
How about a jackhammer? Does that count?
Sure.
There's a movie I reviewed way back when called The Jackhammer Massacre. And it's about a crazy druggie who killed people with a jackhammer, though it was hard to believe because he's always tethered to, like, a power
out. He had to be plugged in first.
Always had to be plugged in, and the stupid cannon fodder never could put two and two together just to run out of range. The jackhammer isn't a very nimble instrument of destruction either.
That's true.
All right, I'm going to go with Kathy Bates' use of the sledgehammer on James Woods in Misery. I think I have all that right.
That's very right.
Yep. That sounds good.
Is it? It is James Woods, right? It's been years since I've watched this. Yes. All right, so.
No, it's...
It's not James Woods?
James Caan. It's James Caan.
James Caan.
Oh, yeah.
No. Sorry. It's Kathy Bates smashing James Caan's ankles.
No, it's Norman Bates.
It's
James Caan.
All right, Mac, to you.
All right, I'm going to go back to Edgar Wright and Scott Pilgrim versus the World, when we have the fight scene between Ramona and the evil ex-girlfriend. Ramona's weapon of choice, she reaches into her tiny little purse and pulls out a giant hammer. Or maybe it's a mace, I don't know, but it's the same basic thing. And that's her weapon of choice. So, you know, everybody else is fighting with swords and whips, but Ramona's just got the blunt instrument. She's blunt instrument. Just got the big old hammer, and she smashes up the place real good. And she doesn't fight with it very much. I kind of wanted to see her really cut loose with it some more, but I guess we get just enough of the hammer as we need. And in the graphic novel version, actually when she pulls out the hammer, there's a little notation at the bottom of the drawing that says, +2 against blondes.
Nice. Okay, here's how we'll end this Sterling podcast. The movies, where the titles begin and end with the same letter.
Oh, good lord.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay, how about Vince Vaughn and Swingers?
That's right, good. Yeah. Correct. Swingers is very good.
I'm going to go with Die Hard.
Ah, that's good.
Good one. Is this like that English show Countdown where you have to come up with the longest one?
You know, in fact, I'll open it up to the group. Pop, if you have others, throw them out there. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, because I got nothing.
Yeah.
I
got a lot of dead air going here, but if you've got others. Yeah, Hitch. Hitch is one. There's one.
That's fair.
There's an 80s horror movie called Spookies.
Okay.
Star Wars.
Oh, of course.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, but Star Wars today is called A New Hope, isn't it?
That's true. I guess you're right. How about, is there a movie called Zardoz?
There, of course, is a movie called Zardoz.
Yes, of course.
It is spelled with a Z or
Z.
Z-A-R-D-O-Z.
Z-A-R-D-O-Z. Zardoz.
It's Sean Connery.
I'm trying to picture the logo. I could have sworn there was an X or no, I guess not.
Nope. Anyone else? Anything else?
I'm going to take it that one of the things that was said earlier was one of the things I would have said.
What's that?
Any one of them.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, on that really exciting ambush topic, I think it's a good time to end this thing. So that is it. Please enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is our email address. Mac, take us away.
May the odds be ever in your favor.